1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. This is Steve Deal's Wonderful World of Wild Animals, and welcome back to our program tonight. We've got a great guy. He is with the Portland Zoo, and he's going to join us today with a very interesting animal, and I'd like to welcome onto the program here Jack Fecalmatter. Jack, before we start, your last name's very unusual. We had a gentleman on earlier tonight. His name was Rump Ranger.
Is that right?
Yeah. And your name must cause you some problems, does it?
You know what, Steve? Once you are in the world of animals and biology and the study of animals, zoology, and I'm well known in my industry, I think people sort of forget your name. You know, they know your name and they get past it. But
you must have been ribbed to having a name like Jack Fecalmatter.
Yeah, I did a lot through school. But I think people get used to it.
All right. I didn't want to say welcome to Jack Fecalmatter and ignore it because your name is an unusual name. So enough said. Let's talk about the animal that you brought on tonight.
All right, Steve. This is a Chihuahua dog, and his name is Barney. And you can see he's a small little dog.
Now, I've seen Chihuahuas, and we've all seen Chihuahuas. And I'm going to ask you a question that is going to sound like the stupidest question in the world, but I want to ask you this, okay?
All right, shoot.
Chihuahuas can't talk, can they?
No, I don't think they can. They can bark, and sometimes they even make a barking sound that may sound like a word. I don't think the dog knows he's saying anything, though.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why I say it is because you get a lot of people, oh, a Chihuahua must be able to talk because of that Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Yeah, I've seen I forget what the Taco Bell Chihuahua says.
Well, it's some advertising slogan or advertising line that they have superimposed on the mouth of the Chihuahua.
Well, it's an animation process, right?
It's an animation process, yeah. But you'd be surprised at people. Nobody believes a Chihuahua can talk, but, you know, I want to just get that out of the way, okay?
Oh, no, all right. Well, the answer to that is no, Chihuahuas can't talk.
All right, because you see these Chihuahuas on the Taco Bell commercial. Okay, everybody, this is Steve Deal, and we're talking here with Jack Fecalmatter. He's with the Portland Zoo, and he's brought a Chihuahua, and this is a small animal, a small dog. What is the Chihuahua, because it's so small, what was it bred for?
Steve, the Chihuahua is originally bred as a domestic animal to control vermin. That would be mice and rats. The animal was bred that way because cats are a little bit more of an independent creature. And cats will not necessarily respond to commands the way a dog does. So people develop the Chihuahua was bred to be a small house dog that could hunt vermin. Now, of course, today, since we don't have that kind of problem as much as we did perhaps in the last 2 centuries ago, Chihuahuas are pets. They make a wonderful pet. They're a little bit of a guard dog, too. They make a lot of noise.
All right. They make a lot of noise, but they won't say to the burglar, hey, get out of here, burglar. You know, you're at someone's house because they don't talk.
No, they don't talk.
Hey, let me ask you something, Jack, before I let you go. Cats. Can you walk a cat?
You know, I don't know. I'm a zoologist mostly. I work with animals that are in from the wild.
So could you ever walk a cat or train a cat to get your shoes or anything like that?
I've seen people do some amazing things with cats. I know a lot of cats cats respond to different kinds of commands, but I don't think it's the same temperament as a dog.
All right. Well, Jack, I want to thank you so much for joining Steve Deal's Wonderful World of Wild Animals. Jack Fecalmatter from the Portland Zoo, and I don't want to get any mail. That is the man's name. And we've had a wonderful time talking to Jack about the Chihuahua dog. And if you've seen the Taco Bell commercial, no, Chihuahuas can't talk. Thanks so very much, Jack.
Thank you.
The Wonderful World of Wild Animals with Steve Deal. Brought to you by Chrysler. Drive the new Chrysler today. Dean Martin's Wardrobe by Pat Magnani. Some wop. All guests of The Wonderful World of Wild Animals stay at the Knickerbocker Hotel.
What'd you say?
Knickerbocker Hotel. Why, you racist. Ow. The Phil Hendry Show will be back in just a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, on the Phil Hendry Show tonight, I will look at some email and also tell you about things coming up. Of course, our webcast is on Friday night, and that is the 31st of March, this coming Friday night. And wherever you are in the world, and we have an international listener base. I mean, I say that. I mean, we got like one cat in India. There's a guy in Japan. Actually, that girl in Japan, she's a teacher. She emailed me not too long ago. She was the one who had the picture. She said, here's me with a bunch of bull haircuts, her students. And, you know, so there's folks all over the place. And on Friday night, of course, we all check in. And I think we may even hear from the guys who are having the webcast party, which is somewhere back in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina. A bunch of people whose eyes are too close together are going to be getting together, and they're going to be hanging at some guy's house. And maybe, you know, their eyes are so close together, some of them are like just a una eye. They got a few cyclops that are going to be hanging, and they're going to be watching a webcast and just pounding Jaeger shots, just slamming them back. Guys are just, yeah, watching a webcast. And you're invited, by the way. Go to sweetfeatheryjesus.com. They'll tell you all about it. Also, our website is www.philhendryshow.com. That's where you get the backstage pass to see the webcast. See the webcast. If you didn't join us the first hour, I ran down the ratings for Teachers last night, which is the NBC sitcom that I'm a part of. Margaret was saying that I look too fat. She not only said I look too fat, she said that I was disgusting looking, and that fat people, it's one thing to be around them physically because you have to smell them, at least when you're on TV, you don't have to smell them. But be that as it may, the show last night, and remember I said last night, we have to pull a number or we're done. So yesterday on the show, I remember saying last night to you guys, we've got to pull a good number, a good rating tonight, or we're history. Forget it. However well-meaning NBC is, however hard we worked, however sweet everybody was on the set, and however much we wanted it, if we don't pull a decent number, we are dead meat. Take us out, put a bullet in our head, and throw us into the back of the Humane Society truck. Next stop, the freezer. God. Well, guess what? God smiled. The heavens parted. The Lord reached down and touched us. Last night, we kicked ass. You can't describe it as anything else. We kicked ass, which means scrubs kicked ass. Basically, what we did is we held 94% of the scrubs audience. Now, 80%, that's what they're looking for. 85%, that's sweet. 90%, 94%, man, we almost basically equaled Scrubs' audience. And that buys us another week. As far as that, that's how I view it. Buys us another week. I'm serious, because you know they'll pull a show after 1 week, man. You know that Courting Alex show with Heather Graham? That was on for one episode, and they took everybody on the staff, including Heather, out behind a warehouse, and they had already dug the pit, lined them up nude, and just pop into the ditch. That was the end of that. NBC just took them all out and had them shot. It happens. Now, what's the other show? The guys at Four Kings. Now, I met those guys. They're very nice guys, funny actors. They just pulled a plug on that. Now, I don't know what those cats see. You got to look it up, man. What did those guys do right out of the box? Were they on Thursday night, Four Kings? And how many weeks were they on? They were on six. All right. You ought to look up and find out what the number was on Four Kings, like, the first week. What show it followed? Was it My Name is Earl? Was it following My Name is Earl? See how they did. See what kind of number they did, right? Because if they started out at, like, 98% or whatever the hell, I don't know. I don't know what they did. And then they tailed out until finally it was just, you know, somebody opened a window because you could smell the rotting carcass. Good guys, funny guys, Seth Green, all the guys. But you know what? They were taken out at midnight after being pulled from their beds by guys in leather boots with those, you know, kind of those wind wing helmets, and just led out to a ditch. And you could just hear the very distant crack of a rifle and bodies hitting the earth. That was it. That was the end of the road for them. But last night, things, as I said, came together pretty decent, man. So we're praying. And I haven't been to Mass. Well, I go to Mass, but I'm not really a devout Catholic, but I think I'll become one, because I think if I become a devout Catholic, God will go, oh, look at that, the guy's going back to church. Well, then I guess I'll make sure his show's a hit. All right, here's some email. This is Bill Rainbird. Bill Rainbird, dude. You know, Bill, do you know Jack Fecalmatter? Anyway, it says, Phil, I have turned on many of my friends to your show, and like all art, some get it and others don't. I purchased a backstage pass as soon as I got an internet connection with enough bandwidth to download the bits. Thank you again, and good luck in all you do. Bill Rainbird. Thanks, Bill. Very nice of you. Phil, you're the best. I've been an active duty Marine for 15 years. Why does this interest you? Well, I spent the early part of my career in Southern California, where I found your show and was hooked right off the bat. I've moved around the country and the world a few times since then, but always managed to keep track of your show. Whether you know it or not, Marines love to share war stories and past experiences. From being shot at in Somalia or hugged by happy people in Afghanistan, the stories keep our spirits up and keep us going. Well, imagine my surprise when I began sharing Phil Hendry stories with my men. My boss, a captain, is 10 years younger than me, and he was also stationed in Southern California, and he remembered you. We laughed so hard. Ha ha ha. I'm a faithful backstage member and download your shows to my iPod daily. I often replay them in the office, and it always brings laughs to all of us, no matter where or when. And we especially love Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson. Thanks again for all you do, and please know that you'll always have a fan in the U.S. Marine Corps. God bless. Take care. Jay. Thanks, man. God bless you guys. Keep kicking ass. Everything's going to be fine. History will vindicate you. And when you come home, you will come home to a welcoming country, people who are proud of you, and people, and just remember this. There are a hell of a lot of us who supported your mission. Now, you're going to get your ass kissed by a whole lot of people who thought that what you were doing over there was wrong. I would just suggest that you, separate the wheat from the chaff. Don't let anybody snow you. Don't let anybody blow any smoke up your ass about how they love you when they were back over here crapping all over what you were doing. So just keep that in mind, my brother. This has been Phil threatening people. We'll be right back. All right, anyway. Oh, dig that. You know, I hear this music. What is it? Is this a sensory memory? This reminds me of my dad.
Bud on the kazoo.
Yeah, there's Bud Dickman, by the way, on the kazoo.
Isn't that a kazoo? It's a trumpet.
Oh, really? Oh, well, thanks a lot, Lawrence Welk. Jesus. How do you know it's a trumpet? It sounds like a kazoo to me.
Are you kidding me? It's a trumpet.
That's a freaking kazoo, you jackass.
What are you talking about, man? A kazoo?
Look, man, why don't you get back? Didn't your issue of Gloid Weekly come in? I think you got to get reading that, dude. Wait a minute, what?
All right, now hold on for a minute.
What do you mean it's a trumpet?
Yeah, it's a trumpet. The Gloid's right, listen.
What do you mean the Gloid? The guy's a regular guy.
All right, fine, listen. What is this gay-ass stuff? Take it back to where it was.
Well, David, it's playing.
I said to take it back.
Now I gotta rewind it.
Rewind it then. Yeah. Right there. Play it!
Shut up!
Yeah, right here.
What is that, man? It sounds like a tuba.
I'm not talking about that. Here it comes.
That's a piano.
I'm gonna come down there and kick your ass in a minute. Get the right there. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's a kazoo.
What a jackass. You hear that, bud?
Yeah, I heard it. I couldn't believe my ears.
You're calling that a kazoo?
Yeah, it sounded like a kazoo to me.
I'll bet it did. And I bet you when a dog barks, it sounds like somebody calling you for dinner.
You mean that's a trumpet?
Yeah, I think.
You don't tell a trumpet? You don't know nothing.
Oh, okay. Like I said, Lawrence Welk.
Well, you don't have to be Lawrence Welk to know a trumpet from a freaking kazoo. What do you think this... Listen to this record. They hire all these musicians, right? And what did the guy say? Let's hire a piano player, a drummer, a bass, and let's go out and get the best kazoo player in the world. Oh! Haul out!
All right, turn it off, man. I don't need to hear that and be humiliated. I've been called fat and stupid tonight. How much more of this can I take?
Oh, boo-hoo! You're not expected if you don't know a kazoo from a trumpet. Sweet Christ!
You watch your language, you filthy freaking atheist.
I'm not an atheist.
I think you are, man, when you say stuff like that. All right, here we have another email. And if you weren't What? And if you weren't, I wouldn't be a backstage pass. What do I got? Two pages of a... I don't have the full email here. Anyway, Gina the Rube Lover writes, I listen to you every day at work, and one of my coworkers was in my office. She was complaining that she hears you on 570 on the days that the Lakers don't play. She thinks you're horrible and told me so. I explained the show to her, and she was glad she got some answers, but now she gives me the dirtiest looks and avoids me because I actually paid money to listen to you. She told me she thinks you are immoral. However, I sure see her gossip about everyone around here, so I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway, thanks for helping me become hated around work, and as long as you are on the air, I will listen. If it wasn't for your show, I would go out of my mind at work. I also memorized the entire Silence of the Lambs speech that Hannibal says. You know what you look like to me? I will make sure to watch the show, and good luck with it. Gina the Rube Lover. Well, Gina, number one, you're a chick that digs the show. That's bound to get you dirty looks from other women. Because other women that don't like the Phil Hendry show, well, you know what? They don't like men. That's right. Sure, they fall in love with them, and sure, they want to spend their money. But like them? Appreciate the fact that every morning we wake up with choking fear? That every day we think is our last? That every pain we feel in our right arm, we figure, okay, well, there you go. It's got to be a heart attack, when actually it should be pain in the left arm. So that shows you how smart we are. And I'll tell you something else. You want to know why she gives you dumb looks and horrible looks? It's because we conned her ass. She listened to it. She thought the interviews were real. And when you told her how the show worked, now she knows she's an idiot. And she hates you for telling her about it. It's a case of killing the messenger for delivering the massage. Dear Phil, my name is Justin, and I was on a TV show with you called Teachers. I hope you liked working with me. Sincerely, Justin Bartha. No, actually, it says, Dear Phil, my name is Justin. I was listening to XM while delivering pizzas and heard one of the funniest things ever. I'm not sure the name of the caller, but it was a man talking about how he would sit outside of people's houses and watch them burn down. In one particular case, he even followed a drifting ember down the street and watched as it landed on a nearby house. The house went up in flames, and a man ran out of it on fire and proceeded to jump into a pool of water with a satisfying ah. Awesome show. The backstage pass is bitching. Justin, P.S. Teachers kicks ass. Thanks, my brother. Phil, I did talk radio for about 8 years, first with a show called The Hot Talk Radio Party, which was syndicated, then on KLIF in Dallas. The Hot Tub. The Hot Tub was more like your show in that we just made fun of everything. Then I had an offer to do Straight Talk, and while I always loved being on the air and entertaining, having to talk politics and world events seriously was like being anally raped. I admire what you do so much. I can't imagine being mentally fast enough to do four voices at once and writing on the fly as you do. That is a talent for the ages. And if the world was a fair place, it would figure out that Limbaugh, Franken, and all of these guys are just so much white noise, and you would have 1,000 affiliates. Like I say, doing the kind of talk radio I do right now feels as if I'm being taken in a prison block. Sincerely, Sean Hannity. Thank you so much, Sean. I just watched the first segment of your show. It's really funny, and your character rocks, Phil. How about that beer-chugging hottie sub? I might actually start watching another sitcom. Haven't done that in years. Keep up the great work. Hope you get picked up for at least the syndication minimum 3 years. Your fan, Mike. That's Sarah Shahi, brother. And she's all that. She is slamming hot. Smoking. And she sucks down that beer. Let me tell you what, friend.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This guy wrote an email. He says to me, hey, Phil, one of your best bits involved two characters, I forget their names, who had a problem with house cats who they were convinced were bringing dead mice to their owner's doorstep to send the message, hey, this could be you next. They slowed down the sound of a cat meowing, and it sounded like a full-grown lion roaring. Well, check out this news item. Then the guy sends me this news item about a cat named, I don't know what the hell a cat's name is. Lewis is the name of this cat. And the cat springs on people, right? You've ever had a cat? Some cats are, like, really squirrely, man. They'll jump on your leg. And my cat does it because he's playing. I know we got a cat named Ruffy, and I gave him permission because I used to wrestle with him. I put a towel on him, and I'd wrestle him, you know, just kind of bat him around. He's inside the towel, so I'm punching him around, and he digs it. He always grabs a towel and drags it out. He wants me to throw it on him, and I'm beating him up. Well, now this cat that we got, thinks it's cool to be, you know, chasing and jumping on people's legs. But he doesn't bite us or anything. He just is like, he jumps you and then splits. So there's this cat that's jumping on people's legs, and they're calling out the animal control office. First of all, the cat ain't gonna. If you've been bit by a cat, Jack, you know it. I've been bit by a cat because I worked at an animal hospital. But just because a freaking cat leaps on your leg and, you know, they do that little bite thing. Good God, what happened there, man? See all these dead people? Look at them all. They're just slaughtered. Is that the writing staff for Four Kings? Anyway, I'm just looking at the news here. So, you know, this cat wants to, these people want to take this cat, his name is Lewis, and lock him up and kill him, right? He's this big, fat, freaking cat. And anyway, at the very end of the story, these people are so freaked out by this animal that the one guy, one of the neighbors, and this is the reason why the guy sent me the story, one of the neighbors said, Lewis will stare you down. Like the cat's staring you down. It's an animal. It's a dopey cat. And this guy's intimidated. That, you imagine a human being, this is a man who is quoted in a news service as sort of like, you know, he's a cat staring him down and he's blinking. The cat's just, yeah, man, anytime you say go, it's go time. And the dude's all blink, blink, ooh, shoot. You know, he's freaked out by the cat's resolve. Cat's ready to just get it on. Cats, I mean, I've had cats my whole life, ever since I was a kid. I like them. I got no problem. I like dogs, too. I love the hell out of dogs. Problem is, I got two problems with dogs. Number one, they need attention. They need love. They want you to be there, and they want to lick your face. Hey, you know what? I mean, I don't have the time all the time, man, to be running and throwing a ball. I don't have the time to be walking the dog. All right? I mean, I walk the dog, but that's something else. That ain't what you think it is, okay? That's number one. Number two, cats take a dump and they bury it, right? A dog, I got to go out there with the dog scraper. And,
What do you mean, like a yo-yo trick? What do you mean?
What?
When you say you're walking the dog.
It's none of your business, okay, bud?
What do you mean? You said you don't walk the dog?
Just shut up, man. None of your business.
You're talking about fondling it. I just, ow!
Fondling it. Anyway, a cat takes a dump, he buries it in the dirt, and that's the way, you know, it's cool. Everything's done, right? Even if the cat goes outside, man, he buries his dump in the dirt, see? Now, to me, that's, you gotta say something for an animal that'll do that. That's points with me. That's big time points. Dogs, crap, you gotta go out, pick it up, throw it in the whatever. And a lot of these folks, they don't even do it, man. You ought to live near the beach. Some of the beaches that I've lived near, these people take the dog out in the sand, the thing takes a crap, it's laying out there, the whole thing. I don't even want to deal with it. Cats, not a problem. Now, it's true, they don't come up and lick your face and all of that. I think people that need that from an animal, there's something, it's frightening. Frankly, it's frightening. I think you're looking for, you know, the wrong kind of affection. I mean, these people that are so into their dogs that they just, you know, they're like people and they love to have their face licked. What's next? You're going to be hunching it? I mean, the next thing you know, you're going to dress it in panties. I mean, a lot of these people put eyeglasses, you know, they'll take their dog out, they put a bandana on it, a hat, glasses, slacks, a vest, three-piece suit, little dog wing tips, and they take them out. And you swear to God, they're people. That scares me, and I don't trust people like that. I'd rather just a cat. I come in, there's the cat looking dumb. I go, hey, how you doing, cat? Cool. I sit down and watch TV. The cat comes over, jumps in your lap, or not, as the case may be. You can hear him, you know, eating his bowl of food. You can hear him crunching. Then he goes back, burps, farts, squeezes one off in the box, and goes back to the thing and sleeps. That's my kind of pet. But this whole thing with a dog, and these people that don't like cats, kiss it. Right out on Main Street. You don't like cats because you don't understand. You want to know why you don't like cats? Because they ain't licking your freaking faces. Cats, like Robert De Niro said in Meet the Parents, what, do you like an emotionally shallow animal? So anyway, this cat is, he's out in the street. The people are walking there, and he's saying, what are you doing in my street? And he jumps up on their leg, hunches their leg a little bit, shows them who's boss, and they're calling out animal control. God, what a bunch of fascists. Talk about the Nazi health inspector. I'm telling you, animal control is getting way, way right-wing. Not in terms of their politics toward people, but animals. They're getting to be almost like Gestapo. They're taking the cats, hauling them off, throwing them behind barbed wire, and just treating them like second-class cats. So I say, I don't care. frankly. But as far as those cats go that, you know, those guys were talking about that are going to kill you, you know, yeah, they will. You treat a cat bad, man, he'll break the neck of a freaking mouse, drag it to your front step and go, you want this? Do you want it? Because I'll deliver it, man. Here comes the pain. So just watch your step, baby. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tell you a little bit about our webcast coming up and our poker tournament and a few other things on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I knew this would get the phones going. I'm talking about cats, how I like them better than dogs. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I was responding to your comments about cats, and I want to tell you that you are dead wrong.
How did I know that? I mean, dog lovers are going to say that.
If you just let me finish, and I'll ask my grandson, turn that down, sir. First of all, I have a pit bull.
A pit bull.
Yes, and it's a very loving and wonderful animal, and it would never, ever harm anyone unless that individual was trying to harm my family. The animal is completely trained.
Male or female?
It is a female, and the dog's name is Cynthia, and we love this animal very much. Now, I want to mention something. Next door, Grandpa wants you to turn that down.
It is the American dream.
Turn it down. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. I need to move along.
All right, well, let me just tell you. My next-door neighbor is a gentleman, a veteran that I know from American Legion named Dick Steelworth. And he has a cat that is some kind of a black-and-white cat that it's been seen in the neighborhood. Now, I said to him that I'd like his cat to stay out of my yard because the animal will get hurt by my pit bull.
And is your pit bull trained to attack cats?
No, sir, but the pit bull is on a leash during the day in a run that we have constructed, and if this cat comes over the fence, because cats go from yard to yard, the pit bull will go after it like white on rice. And I told him, now, and I've got a call in to City Commissioner Bud Frankel, the cat yesterday, and I've got the time, it was at 2:20 yesterday afternoon, the animal. Now, you were talking about cats wrapping themselves around someone's leg, right?
Yes, sir. That was what they were saying.
Well, this cat came off the fence, and I was in the backyard, and I was doing some work on some screens that we were having cleaned. The cat came off the fence and attached itself to my face, to my head, and the animal was spread across my face. I thought for sure I was going to have my eyes clawed out, and then I realized what was happening. I was being teabagged by a cat in front of my door.
What do you mean you were teabagged by?
I'm telling you, the cat had its legs right across the nasal area, and I was getting a full teabag from a neighborhood alley cat, and I have never been more humiliated. And I told Steelworth, I said, you know what, that's dirty pool. Because if I'd let Cynthia go, I could have turned your cat into a snack for my dog. And I find it humiliating.
Sir, wait a minute. Are you telling me your neighbor trained this cat to spread it across your face like that?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all, Mr. Hendry. I'm saying that the cat sat up on the fence, thought to himself, today's a pretty nice day. Why did I teabag the old man today? Of course I'm saying that the animal was trained.
Oh, come on. First of all, this cat grabbed you?
The cat grabbed my facial, yes, into the facial, yes.
Now listen, your hour came, right? Cats, look at if it's a...
Mr. Hendry, I given to understand I'm calling a talk show, I'm not calling one of those programs where you've got some Lloyd signing.
Not my parents?
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. What am I listening there?
My grandson's watching some programming.
I love you.
Number one, if that animal scratched you or bit you, you have a right to go to animal control.
Yes, sir, I do. But I also called Bill Barklin, over at the city commissioner's office. And I told him in no uncertain terms that Mr. Steelworth, and I understand Dick Steelworth's a WW2 boy. You know, these WW2 boys, they think they got it all over the Korea boys because they, you know, on account of the D-Day boys, you know. And but I said to Marklin, I said, this guy Steelworth has got a cat, and the animal is challenging me to kill it with my dog because it teabagged me on Tuesday, teabagged me again on Wednesday.
Wait a minute, man.
What are you laughing at, sir?
How many times did this cat leap off of the fence and grip your face?
The animal gripped me 2 days in a row, and I got teabagged, and it was not that day.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was hot that day.
Oh.
You know, sir, I find it very wrong.
If you got bit by this cat or scratched with it, you have to, number one, get to your doctor. Are you current on your tetanus shot?
Yes, sir, of course we are. My wife and I have full physicals, and we're inoculated regularly.
Well, then you're fine there.
But I'm not inoculated for rabies, am I? What, am I going to go in and get a rabies shot? Or are you, see, Steelworth can't wait for me to start foaming at the mouth and barking at the moon. He'd love to put one in my head, because he's one of these WW2 boys, and he's got a Japanese carbine rifle that he took off a dead Jap, and he'd love to plug me right between the eyes. Well, guess what? His cat already did it. Oh, why don't the two of you go to hell? You know what? Why don't you go ahead, sit in your car, program in hell, hit set as destination, wait for the girl to go forward 3 miles, and turn straight down.
Oh, here we go. You can't hang up.
I can hang up fine.
Then hang it up, will you? I got to get going.
Oh, yeah. You ready? You got to get going.
Get out of here. Guess what his cat already did? 1-800-449. He's going to plug me between the eyes. Guess what his cat already did? That old man, he needs definite help. You got a pit bull, dude. It's not to be for killing animals. And it's not to be for attacking human beings unless it's a guard dog of some kind. You know, these people that own dogs, they wouldn't know how to... They don't know a dog from a freaking a set of slippers. They don't know a dog from the slippers that are in its mouth. And a lot of these folks, with, you know, I understand the problem with a pit bull. Pit bulls are bred by a lot of responsible people, but there's a certain level of white trash. And when I say white trash, I'm including black folks in there, too. They're like black white trash. And they got pit bulls, and they wouldn't know their ass from a hole in the ground about how to train or manage an animal like that. Next thing you know, you're walking down the street, thing comes barreling ass at you from somebody's front lawn. You know, have you ever had a dog chase you down while you're walking down the street? One of these days, I'm going to just rear back, and I'm going to make like Jason Elam when he was going for Dempsey's record. Just pull that soccer leg away. You know what I'm going to do? Have you ever seen Paul Ettinger of the Bears? Used to be on the Bears. When he kicks a field goal, his back is to the ball. He lines up with his back to the ball, then he swings around. I see a dog taking off after me. I'm going to line up with my back to the dog, and as the dog tears at, I'm going to just swing around with that leg, kick the dog square in the teeth, and I'm going to hear Pat Summerall or somebody go, "It's good!" as the dog sails clean over someone's house. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Real quick story. You don't have to believe it, but I had it corroborated by a bunch of people. There, I had a neighbor up at the beach. His name was Mark. He's an ex-Marine. Nice guy. And one day, the street was having a block party, which they do on a lot of streets. And up at the beach was the summer, and people were out in the street, and they were having a block party. Now, down the street comes a lady with a dog, and it's a little dog. And coming the other way comes, unrestrained by a fence or any leash, is a Rottweiler dog. The Rottweiler goes after this little dog and is trying to kind of tear at it. I don't know whether it got the dog or what, but was literally going after the woman when everybody started to back off. They didn't know what to do as a Rottweiler. Now, here comes Mark out of his house. What do you think he did? I heard 4 people corroborate this. He grabbed the Rottweiler by its rear legs and started swinging it around the way you'd swing a little kid around if you're holding their arms. kept going around and rolling around and let go and threw it right up against the side of an apartment building. And the dog got up. Now the dog's suing, but hell of a story. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.